This is Vespers for the sixth week of Lent for March 20th. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 26. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the ways of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Hymn for today is Christ, the Life of All the Living. We'll do verse 1 and 6. That's number 420 in the new hymnal. Christ, the life of all the living, Christ, the death of death, our foe, who thyself for me once giving to the darkest depths of woe, through thy suffering, death, and merit, I eternal life inherit. Thousand things shall be dear is Jesus unto thee. Thou hast suffered great affliction, and hast borne it patiently, even death by crucifixion, fully to atone for me. Thou didst choose to be tormented, that my doom should be prevented. Thousand things shall be, dear is Jesus unto thee. First reading for this sixth week of Lent, this midweek service, is from Isaiah 65. Behold, my servant shall act wisely, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Second reading is from Luke chapter 10, verse 21 to 24. In that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. In both of our readings this evening, we have descriptions of joy and happiness. Isaiah describes what Jerusalem will be like in the days ahead, once the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, the suffering servant, once he has won his victory, then Jerusalem will be restored. And the way he describes it is somewhat interesting. This is the phrase that he uses, that it struck me at least. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. I think that what that means, what the prophet is saying, is that unlike in the time of strife and warfare, what each person sets out to do, they will be allowed to do it. If you want to plant a vineyard, then you will enjoy your vineyard. If you want to work, then you will enjoy the fruits of your work, which is exactly what does not happen in war. When there's warfare, when there's strife, the invading army comes and takes your field. They come and take what you've worked for so that you do not get to enjoy the fruits of your own labor. So what Isaiah is describing is a time when Jerusalem is at peace, when Jerusalem is a place where there is no more warfare, where there's no more theft, where each person dies, if they die at all, after many years of a fulfilled life, more than 100 years at least, or so Isaiah puts it. The idea being that nobody dies as a result of some sort of unnatural death. This is peace. This is joy. This is what Jerusalem will someday have. Jesus also is describing joy and peace. He doesn't, at least in the selection we have, it's not exactly explicit the way it is in Isaiah. But you hear it, you hear that joy in the last thing that he says to his disciples. He tells them that their eyes are blessed because they will see, or rather, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, is what he says to them. That is to say, what you see, you are blessed to see these things. And I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. All the Old Testament prophets, the people of Israel, they waited for what the disciples are about to see for themselves with their own eyes. And what is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the very same peace that Isaiah is talking about, when there will be no more warfare, when there will be prosperity and joy, and Jerusalem will be made whole. And here, we're not speaking about the earthly Jerusalem, but we're speaking about Jerusalem as the place where God's people dwell. The disciples will see this for themselves. They will have this joy that so many have waited so long to see. So joy and happiness. You might be wondering, why are we talking about this here on the last Wednesday in Lent? This sounds a lot like Easter, doesn't it? What Isaiah and Luke are talking about. But we're still in Lent. We still have to go through Holy Week, Palm Sunday, and Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then we get to Easter. Shouldn't we wait to have this joyful talk until then? Well, for one thing, I think we're about tired of having these little get-togethers on Wednesdays. And if you're listening at home, you might be a little bit tired of hearing this every Wednesday as well. So we're not going to talk about this after Easter, but more importantly, or more to the point, what Isaiah and Luke are talking about, what Jesus is talking about in this reading from Luke, it does involve Easter, but it's not really about Easter. Yes, Easter is joy. Easter is the message that everything is completed and now there is life. But we can't just jump right to Easter. And the joy described here, it's more than just that light and that happiness and the Easter lilies and all that stuff that comes on Easter morning. There's a note of darkness here too. Or rather, there's a reason for this joy that might not be so apparent. This joy that Isaiah describes, this peace that Jerusalem has, this very same thing that Jesus talks about, that the disciples are about to see. What is the reason for this joy? Again, we have to consider what Isaiah is talking about, that this joy is because of peace. But there is more than one kind of peace. When Isaiah wrote his book, Jerusalem was being besieged by the Assyrians, at least during part of that time. Later on, during the time of Jeremiah the prophet, they would be besieged again by the Babylonians, and that time they would be carried into exile. But it wasn't just the Assyrians and the Babylonians. The Egyptians at various times threatened the people of Jerusalem. Their neighbors threatened them. Even the northern kingdom of Israel, the other Jewish people, they threatened Jerusalem as well. Throughout its history, Jerusalem was under siege many times by invading armies who would come and do the things that Isaiah talks about, that they would raid the people's vineyards, they would take their things, they would kill, even killing young men. But I think what Isaiah is talking about is not the peace that comes when there are no more Babylonians or Assyrians or Romans or whatever invading Jerusalem. The peace that he's talking about is not the peace that comes with victory over foreign countries. It's not victory against Rome or Philistia or Egypt or Babylon or Assyria or what have you. But the real peace that Isaiah is describing, this peace that Jerusalem has, is a peace which the people have among themselves. There will be a peace, people at joy. There will be no distress. There will be happiness together. I'm looking through the reading here, trying to read some of the words that Isaiah uses. But really, that's a peace that comes not from, again, not from conquering the enemies outside the walls, but it's the peace that comes from being at peace with the people inside the walls, with your neighbors, or even being at peace with yourself. Because this is really the secret of Jerusalem's problems. This was always the problem for Israel. The foreign countries, their neighbors, those people really weren't the problem. But the Assyrians, the Babylonians, whoever else, the Romans, they only became a problem because Israel was not at peace with itself. Because Israel was conflicted. Because Israel, as a people, were at war with themselves. Because they sinned against each other. And so they also sinned against God. This is why we're talking about peace in the last week of Lent. How is it that they will find peace, as Isaiah predicts they will? How is it that we find peace? It doesn't come by winning the victories. It doesn't come by defeating our enemies, whether that's some foreign people or even our next-door neighbor, or even the people we live with. But peace comes through reconciliation. I think what I've said maybe in a sermon a couple of weeks ago is also true here. The reason we don't have peace amongst ourselves is because we sin against each other. The relationships we have suffer and die because we sin against each other. And this has always been the human condition. This is why Jerusalem fell. This is why eventually every city and every country and every family, if it lasted long enough, every friendship, these things are all hurt by sin. And many of them come to an end because of sin. What can solve this problem? What can give us real peace with each other, or even peace with ourselves for the things we're ashamed of, the things that trouble us? Well, what gives peace is what Jesus speaks about to his disciples. The thing that is about to be fulfilled in their sight, that prophets have long wanted to see, but only here the disciples will see. Yes, partly it's the empty tomb, but it's also the cross. What Jesus is predicting is his crucifixion. Those that look on him and can see here the answer to their problems. Those that look on the crucified Jesus and find in him peace for forgiveness and the ability to forgive others. This is peace. This is the peace that the people of God will have in the heavenly Jerusalem, the peace that comes by the cross. I think on this last week of Lent, the last lesson to have is we are at peace because of the cross. We said before that, way back when we started this, we talked about how Isaiah was looking back towards the Exodus and also looking ahead towards Jesus, and how these two things coincided with each other, the journey of the Israelites out of Egypt to the Promised Land, and what Jesus did, especially during the events of Holy Week, and especially on the cross. Israel traveled from Egypt and eventually, after 40 years, got to the Promised Land, but in a way, that Promised Land really wasn't what it was supposed to be. The people left Egypt, but they brought their problems with them. They had trouble in the land of Israel, just as they had trouble in Egypt. What they needed was something else, something that would finally give them peace. And this is what Jesus did on the cross. As you prepare for Easter, don't look over Good Friday. Remember that your peace and your joy begins in his crucifixion. In him your sins are covered, and now we have peace with each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Let my prayer rise before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. The Canticle from Philippians chapter 2. Being in the form of God, Christ Jesus did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.